Today I'm giving a sermon, or at least that's what we call it. And I'm not a preacher. I'm a professor. And so I tend to give lectures instead of sermons. Now, that's not an excuse for you to go to sleep. But it's sort of in the nature of who I am and how I present things. So today we're going to do a lot of, you might say, studying. But I believe God speaks to us in this way. And so I guess I'll ask you all to try to follow along. I do make one promise. No equations. Okay. So I do have a few slides. And if I can get the first slide, I'm going to look at a few scriptures. And what these scriptures are about the Old Testament practice of tithing. Okay, so we'd like to discuss this a little bit today. We're just going to gloss over things because there's so much that we could discuss. But I'd like to just discuss, at least at the beginning here, a few things about tithing. So Leviticus 27:30, or Leviticus is a book that we'll touch on this Friday in Aleem. Which is this Friday happens to be the beginning of the Day of Atonement as well. Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Okay, so this is one of the scriptures in the Old Testament talking about tithing. Now, I'll tell you one thing I don't think it means. I don't think it means if you're not in agriculture, you don't have to give to God. It does talk only about, in this passage, about grain and about fruit from the trees, but everything from the land. So there might be those, I've actually seen this, who said, well, I'm not in agriculture, I'm not a farmer, so this doesn't apply to me. Well, technically you might be right. But if you want an excuse not to give to God, I can give you better ones. None of us here are Jewish. This was a command given to the Jews. So it doesn't apply to you, if that's the position you want to take. And to make that point further, if you look in the New Testament, there was a very specific decision made at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts. We studied that in the adult Sunday school. And they didn't say anything about having to give a tithe. So if you're looking for an excuse to be off the hook, that's easy to get off the hook, okay? However, if you're looking for an excuse to get off the hook, you've probably missed the boat, okay? Because God has something to say to us, even when it's not a command. At this time in the Old Testament, it was a command. But today, we're not under the law. We're under love. But don't think that love doesn't have its requirements. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. Tell you what, I'll read it briefly, just to a few lines about love, so that we can... Actually, I'll pick up in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Well, I'm not going to go further. The point is that we are under love, and the requirements of love are no less exacting than the requirements of the law. In fact, they go much, much further. So you can ask me, well, why am I reading from Leviticus if we're not under the law? Well, Leviticus, and throughout the Old Testament, we learn about how God relates to his people. And even though we are not the Jewish people, we still are God's people. Okay? And so we learn about this relationship, and it helps us to fulfill the requirements of love, to understand what God was saying to his people. So what I'd like to point out to you from this verse is really what's coming at the end, that this tithe belongs to the Lord. And furthermore, it is holy to the Lord. So this word holy is a very important word. This is something that becomes separate from the worldly affairs and place where we live. This is something which becomes entirely God's, entirely in the realm of God. And so when something is given to God, it needs to be pure. It needs to be without sin. So something that is holy, something that is separated to God. So please keep that in mind as we go through these verses. Okay, our next verse is from Numbers. Numbers 18, 20 through 22. And the particular players, the particular actors in these verses are important. So we begin with what God says. He says this to Aaron. So you remember that Aaron was the high priest. And so the Lord says to Aaron, "You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I will give to the Levites." The Levites was the tribe that served, which served God. "All the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of the meeting." Now, if you were a Jewish person back in Israel at that time, you might say to yourself, "Oh, I give my tithe in order to support the Levites." And there might be a certain bit of truth to that, because that's what God's planning to do with the tithe. But be careful. Remember the previous verse, the tithe belongs to God. It's set apart as holy to him. And notice what he says here in verse 21, That's God, will give all the tithes in Israel to the Levites. Okay? So this wasn't a transaction between the people of Israel and the Levites. This was a transaction between the people of Israel and God. And then a second transaction between God and the Levites. Now, if you're an accountant, you might say, well, it's equivalently the same thing. And if you're an accountant, I guess you'd be right. But this is not about just accounting, okay? God isn't sitting there counting up, okay, you've given 6 sheep, 4 goats, and 3 lambs. You owe me 6 apples from your apple tree. That's not God's purpose in having this tithe. And so it's useful and important to look at the transactions, who are involved in the different transactions. Okay. Our next verse tells us something a little bit more about what tithing was about. It says, Deuteronomy 12, 13 and 14, "Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes. And there observe everything I command you." Okay, so notice that when they're so giving to God, they're not saying that just make sure you give everything you're supposed to give. Because that wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose is make sure you do this in accordance to what I'm asking you to do. Because God's purpose is not simply that the accounting is correct. God's purpose is that he has relationship with his people, and even today, relationship with us. This becomes more clear in the next verse, a few chapters later in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 14. So there is a command here. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. But notice what the command is. It's not, make sure that you put it in the right place. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of your Lord, your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord, your God, always. Now, there's actually quite a few things we can learn from this verse. Notice that the emphasis is not on making sure you give every last thing that you should give, not that we should be withholding things from God, but the emphasis is on that the observance would be in the presence of the Lord. The giving, we'll discuss this more in a moment, has a deeper purpose than accounting, in making sure that God, quote, gets everything he deserves. God deserves everything. He doesn't need to count on what we bring to him. But he wants to bring us into his presence in the way that he intends. That involves obedience. And that was what the last scripture and also the scripture here is about. And there's something that we get out of that. We learn something. We learn to revere the Lord your God always. This is really the heart of worship. That we come into God's presence, and this word revere sounds a bit stern, a little formal, but the truth is that when we come into God's presence, God's holy presence, we will revere him. It is simply the reaction of us as created beings to our Creator will be reverence. I'd like to look at one more passage very briefly. This one is from Malachi. So we're moving from, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I think we had something from Numbers, which are at the beginning of the Bible, from the Torah. We're moving all the way to the end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi. Okay, and part of what had happened over that history is that Israel had fallen into some very legalistic actions, at least some of the people had fallen into a very legalistic relationship with God. And so they were more worried about counting things that went into the tithe than they were about the relationship which God sought with his people. This statement which God makes is made very much in that context of a people who weren't concerned with knowing God, but with a people who at best were concerned with fulfilling laws. And many people, and this refers to them, who weren't even interested in doing that. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. There is God's desire for relationship. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Now, I'd like to make a point, and actually the reason I raised this scripture is because it's used quite a bit in the discussion of tithes and offerings. And I will suggest to you that it's perhaps not always used in precisely the way God really intends it to be used. So some more modern interpretations go something like this. They say, these people were out of relationship with God, and they weren't paying their tithes and offerings. And so the false conclusion is that if they'll pay up, everything will be okay. Sometimes that is said in the modern context that if you pay your tithes and offerings, everything will be okay with God. Okay. And God will lift the curse. But if we've paid attention to what God has said earlier in what he says about tithes and offerings, and if we pay attention precisely to what he says here about return to me and I will return to you, we recognize that not giving their tithes and offerings was but a symptom of one thing that indicated that they were not, their heart was not set on God. Okay? So it's not to say that they shouldn't have paid their tithes and offerings, but that wasn't enough. That wasn't all that God was looking for. And so as we read scripture like this, it is a reminder that we should be faithful, but it's also a reminder that just being faithful in one thing, finances, isn't the thing which God is looking for in his relationship to us. He's not looking for us to pay up, because there's nothing that we can pay that can satisfy the holy God. The price was paid. The price was paid by Jesus on the cross for our sins. And there's no further price that needs to be paid for our salvation. So, I guess the thing I want to say here is simply that the tithe is not the focus of our worship. It is our relationship with God. So that was a very brief, indeed very brief, summary of some of the scriptures we find in the Old Testament regarding tithing. I'm going to offer some opinions. This is where the professor comes out. And I'm not saying that you should adopt my opinions, but I'm going to say that you should think on these things, and that you should pray on these things, because they're part of our relationship with God. So let me just offer you an opinion about our worship service, in which one of the elements is the collection of tithes and offerings. And so there's some questions about how we should approach that. So one question is, do we owe a tithe? I'll give you my answer. No, we don't owe a tithe. This is really leading to something I wanted to say later, because this all belongs to God. And the picture that I think we see in the Old Testament is, here's the holy God over here. I'm bringing this and I'm putting it there. Let's represent this by the altar. So I take this, and I put this on the altar, and it becomes holy and separate to God. And perhaps that was In some ways, the nature of the relationship between God and his people in the Old Testament, although I don't think that's wholly true. But for us, it is completely different. Remember the scripture we read, our scripture reading for today is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So we'll just look at 1 for a moment. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Well, there is a reference to our bodily nature, but in some ways, that means all of you. Okay? So, no longer are we taking our 10 lambs, picking out the best one, and I didn't really discuss that, but it was very important that the Israelites pick out the best one, because that was part of their demonstrating their willingness to sacrifice to God. So they pick out the best one, put it on the altar. But here, in Romans, Paul is saying, pick up your whole self. Move it into that circle. It's no longer, if it ever was, it's no longer, let's give this part to God. It's now, God wants us all, every bit of us. Okay? So now we pick ourselves up, put ourselves down in God's circle of holiness. Now, that's not a simple act. I'm not suggesting that's just something that you do once and you're done. And this passage in Romans goes on to sort of emphasize that there's some real process going on, and that is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's some process. So I'm not saying that we just do that once, but I'm saying that the image is that we're not giving God his tenth and keeping the 9/10 for ourselves, and that's ours. Okay? Because it's not. It's God's. Now, God may direct us to use 9/10 or 8/10 or whatever number to serve our needs, but maybe he won't. It's all God's. So let's go back to the portion of our worship service where we collect tithes and offerings. I'll just tell you a story. It's kind of funny. There is a song titled I Surrender All. Okay? And when I was young, this was a song that would, the time you would hear it, 99% of the time, it would be at an altar call at the end of a service. Okay? When you go to Chinese churches, you find something quite different. You find this song is often used during the collection of tithes and offerings. And so I always found that a little bit peculiar. But in reflecting on it, I think there's something very correct about that. Because notice this word, I surrender all. It doesn't say, I surrender my tithe, or I surrender my dollars. It's, I surrender all. Now, it is indeed correct that when we collect the tithes and offerings, we're collecting money, sometimes in the form of dollars, bills, sometimes in the form of checks, and so forth. And it's true, we're not collecting tithes in the agricultural sense. Nobody has put chickens or so forth into the offering bag, at least not recently. It's not to say that it would be, well, it's not going to work out, the chicken part, but people do sometimes give so-called in-kind gifts. And as far as God's concerned, he's not he's not that interested in the form. There's a lot of discussion, actually, in the Old Testament about the form of the gift. But I think the bottom line is that God isn't that interested in the form of the gift. But the act of collecting the offering, of giving, oh, by the way, it's a serious act. We give real money. And so in that sense, it has some bearing on our being and who we are. But in another sense, it's a symbolic act. It's a reminder that we do give our all. And that's what God expects of us. And so we should reflect on, this is my suggestion for worship, as we come to that part of the service, we should reflect on the fact that we are His and that our highest ambition, our highest goal as Christians is to indeed give ourselves wholly to God as an offering which is holy and pleasing to God, which is the NIV version. And I believe that if in our worship, both in our collecting of tithes and offerings, in our other parts of our worship, perhaps most importantly in the worship, which is our lives, that if we can maintain the understanding, and if we can pray for, I guess it's faith or strength, to live that understanding before God, and before the people of the world who need to see what it means for people to be committed to God and to have given themselves to God. We will find the most profound blessing from God in having that life. I want to thank you all for your attention. And let's pray that God does bless us as we bless Him through the giving of ourselves to Him.